Let's play Where is Trista today?
Don't say it yet. I want to guess.
It's windy.
I think she's in Southern California.
I think she's at home. Where are you?
Home is in Portland?
Yeah.
No,
but not home. Because the wood is too good in the background.
Well, we don't talk like that on this show, ma'am.
But that's what made me say no to Portland, because she's not finished with what she's doing. That looks finished.
Yeah, this is the workspace.
Ah. Oh, okay.
Gotcha. So the podcast studio is being booked right now.
Okay.
So I walked over there and it was completely full, and I have no idea when they're going to be done. So I say, you know what? Let's get a little raise.
Don't they know?
Today.
Don't they know who they dealing with? Don't they know your name? Kick Johnny out of his little spot. Trista Crick is here.
And then let's be honest, they're probably not doing anything.
Well, I want to know how many followers this individual has. I want to know how many TikToks they've made. They're what's it? NBA thread. What's it called? Threads. I want to know their follower count.
It's probably just some B2B stuff. Let's be honest. It's probably like. Probably like how to build software in the gig economy.
If it's a YouTube video, that helps me out a lot.
Well,
I go to YouTube to figure out everything.
Yo, the accessories are popping today, by the way.
They're good today.
That's one giant necklace, right?
Yeah, this is one piece.
Yep.
And then there's some stuff underneath here that came. Yeah. This was all sold together.
Oh, there's even jewelry underneath the big piece of jewelry.
Come on now. Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Good. I'm just getting ready. You know what it was? I was inspired. I was looking at what I'm going to wear to Vegas.
Oh, let's go.
You inspired me last week.
Okay.
And I got online, like, looking at what I was going to do. And then I was like, you know what? Let me stop effing around. Let me put some stuff on.
There we go.
Even if I just have a t-shirt on, I can still look good.
Oh, yeah, you can make a t-shirt. Are you going to go blazer no shirt, too? Because that's what I'm doing Friday night, is blazer no shirt.
I got a bedazzly, what is it? Like a bustier sort of thing, like a bandeau. And then I'm going to wear something. And so that's just basically like an outdoor bra, like a bra for the world.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to put like a jacket over it and some leather pants.
Oh, we're breaking out the leather for Vegas. You're going to be sweating uncontrollably.
But it's
like 105.
But UFC is very cold in there.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to do that. And then I've got some like more gauzy like dress. Inside, it's always cold.
That's
all
facts.
These casinos.
Yeah,
it's
that's
always,
facts.
So that's the hard part about Vegas is you kind of have to like, where am I actually going? Am I just going outside to get into my Uber?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the temperature at the destination? Because if it's not pool and it's not being at a hike, then I probably should just dress like it's, you know, spring
inside.
Or winter.
Yeah,
yeah inside. Yeah, yeah just yeah. pumping in the AC.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, Ollie's chilling.
Hey, there we go. There we go.
He's coming to Vegas.
Oh, my. Okay.
I know. It's bad. He couldn't. I left him for an hour with my mom when I went on a bike ride on Saturday, and he cried the entire time.
Oh, poor baby.
And scratched at the door and ate the little door thing underneath it. He's teething. I just don't know how he'll do. You know, he's the most like attached, anxious dog I've ever met. I don't know. You're going to obviously put Sprout at the boarding place, right?
Oh, I would never. My mom will come over and take care of her.
Yeah, okay. Well, same.
UFC is Friday night or Saturday?
Saturday night. So I fly in Saturday.
Oh, okay.
I leave Monday.
Okay, got it. We were...
So I've for the chatty house, I'm going to move out of my hotel room, and I'm moving in to La Casa, the full hotel complex, where Damien's going
to
be so that we can link up so much.
Yeah, we turning up for sure.
So I can use the pool or whatever it is that y'all parlaying, and I won't get kicked out of anywhere.
Oh, first of all, you never get kicked out anywhere. We all know that. We were just having a conversation. Casey brought this up. He said L. Duncan and Bomani Jones were talking about it. The discourse around, like, Caitlin Clark and the W, and I worked in Angel Reese to this. Like,
and they were talking about both of them.
Like, yeah.
It wasn't just Caitlyn. It was just Caitlyn.
They make their living. They make their living talking about those two, don't they?
Well, Monty Jones really does. But hey, salute. I usually enjoy his work. Do you think the discourse has gotten so difficult surrounding those two players that it's actually turning people off and turning people away from the league?
No, I think people are still going to watch, but I think people are scared to talk about it. I think people are afraid to give their whatever their opinion is on either one of those players because of how nasty the commentary has gotten online. I think you can talk about it with people, human beings, one-on-one, small group settings. Once you bring it to the internet, I think anything you say, for example, Angel Reese has one of the lowest percentage field goal percentages, 8 feet in the WNBA. That is a fact. Mm-hmm. Now, if I was to tweet that or to put that on the internet, that will incite racist trolls mm-hmm. to come and pile on. If I talk about Caitlin having a rough sophomore slump or turning the ball over more than usual or maybe her injuries, or if I go and give her praise and accolades and say she, until this injury, was minus 200 to win MVP, even though Nafisa Collier is averaging 30 points per game, that will also incite racist trolls to say positive things about Caitlin. And then you also have counter Caitlin, which is the sort of the response, the heavy pushback to the racist trolls that's so on the other side that now they kind of villainize Caitlin or diminish Caitlin because they're tired of the over positive rhetoric around Caitlin and the over negative rhetoric around Angel. So it's just in general kind of an unhealthy place as it relates to those two. And I think in general you're seeing people not really know how to handle it, even on TV. I think what we're seeing from even the WNBA coverage on ESPN, I don't really like the way they're talking about it. I don't like the way that ESPN and Bleacher Report are putting headlines out. I don't like that they're making up fake stats for Angel Reese, like most amount of like bricks and 9 games. It's like, that's not a stat, okay? Like, that's not a real hurdle or stat that we're keeping tabs of. That's just you finding a data point so that you can say something negative, overly negative about Angel. Or like Bleacher Report put something like, Angel Reese disappoints fans in a preseason game against the Lynx. Okay. Or it's like, on the other end, it's like, Caitlin Clark struggles to her first missed three in all of her career. And then they kind of like downplay that. So the coverage isn't equal. The way it's being covered, even by the individuals, doesn't feel fair or balanced on either side. I honestly feel like I'm taking crazy pills because I always feel like somebody kind of has an agenda and I kind of know who they are, like what their agenda is based on. Like if you say RG3, I know what RG3's agenda is, right? Like if you say even people who I like and respect, Bomani Jones, I know what Bomani Jones's spin is on this, the lens that he has on the world. So yeah, it's awful. It's awful.
So the thing about it, that's kind of what we talked about, like, does there become a point? Because I don't see any of this ending. Like, Caitlin and Angel are second-year players. They're going to be linked forever. They're going to play for a long time. Does it get to a point where I don't think any three of us will, but the person that's just trying to go in, give the W an opportunity, try it out, see, you know, the league, see how it works, see how WNBA Twitter goes and everything. Does it get to a point where it's like, I don't want to deal with none of this. Like, I'm out. Do you think it has an adverse effect?
I think it has an adverse effect in terms of like having discourse on social. And I think we're seeing that discourse on social is important in growing a sport, right? Like the buzz around something matters. I think my other take is that I think WNBA fans are soft, like generally very soft. Do not allow humor around the W. Like I can't make fun of people in the W like I can in the men's sport. And that's because a bunch of different reasons. But anytime you have a marginalized community, it's hard for comedy to come in. And that's totally fair. But I cook people regardless. And it feels like you can't say anything lighthearted that pokes fun at anything without people getting up in arms.
Outside of all of that, do you think Natasha Cloud fouled Caitlin at the end of the game the other day?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she hit her wrist. Here's the thing that I will say. It's not just the play that Natasha had on Caitlin.
Right.
It's the play that didn't get called on for Dawana Bonner.
Yep.
And then it's the ticky-tack foul that sent Sabrina to the line. And then it's the no call on Tasha.
Right.
So it's three calls. If it was just that one, or even if it was that one and Dawana Bonner, but no call on Sabrina, fine. But the fact that Sabrina got to the line on that BS and Caitlin didn't have the opportunity to do the same, and we didn't get any free basketball, we didn't get any free hoops, no overtime, that was what pissed me off. That was a ticky-tack foul.
Oh, no, absolutely. We were talking about that a minute ago. It wasn't just the one play from Tasha on Caitlin at the end.
No.
That was like the Dawana one was the worst one. And then the yes. Sabrina, the foul that sent her. And that broke the tie, right?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, that's a tough look. That's a tough look. But a lot of people, I think, are also getting introduced to the fact WNBA officiating is horrible. This is not new. It might be the worst in professional sports. Like, it's bad. Bad, bad.
Can we get real refs? I am, like, desperate for a Scott Foster. I'm desperate, right?
That
like,
guy.
Give me a Gucci Mane. Come on. Can we get a little NBA, WNBA crossover? Like, can I get some random guy like Zach? Can I get a Zach Zarba on a Liberty Lynx game? Like, just something. I just want somebody that I know that I even if I distrust him, like I know what I'm getting from him.
You want to start conspiracy theory? Scott Foster out here officiating Caitlin Clark games.
Oh man, that guy.
Oh my God.
He clearly didn't know the assignment in game three. He was supposed to be there to be the the extender. They gave Indiana every damn call. The whole damn Knicks team almost fouled out in the third quarter.
Well, what game did he get hit in? What game was
that? Was it OKC?
I think it was OKC because I think Lou Dort got it. Oh, Lou Dort got him.
That's right. Yeah.
He's like Adam Silver's favorite ref. Is he not? He had an ACL tear all year. Is nursing that thing. I'm like, where is Scott Foster? I haven't seen him around. And I swear the very next day, guys, it was announced that he was back. And he's had every high leverage game since.
Well, he didn't know the assignment
every
on Sunday.
One.
Do better tonight if you're still there. It almost cost the Knicks the game.
Oh, so sad.
The Knicks were getting run off the floor.
They bounced back. They got them right where they wanted them.
You know, Casey. Whoa,
okay. I was going to say down 20 points. You didn't have to say that.
You have got to settle down. That's twice.
So I got a text, guys. And I love my friends over at Meadowlark, right? We love them. They're great. But I got to spill a little tea because I can't keep any secrets. This is why I'm like, can't be in corporate culture. But so... They're doing their thing. I've been on a few streams on the Levitard YouTube page or whatever after these Eastern Conference Finals games. And with Juju, who does he has a podcast called Alley Oop, and it's like Juju and Friends, right? So it's like me and Zach Harper and like Tony Tende, who's on the Dan Levitard show. I don't know if you guys know any of these guys and Juju. And I get a text, and it's like, hey, Trista, so good to have you on tonight for the Alley-Oop post-game show. I was talking to my boss, Carl, and we think it's best if you and Juju don't use the word pause. We would ask that you refrain from any pauses for the duration of this post-game stream. It could come across as slightly homophobic, and that's why Desus and Miro have stopped using it. And I was like...
Together anymore.
I said, got it. No problem.
I've never.
And so I proceeded to use all the pauses and not say the pauses.
Just say it's a free for all now.
Yeah, I was like, oh, yeah, you know, Jalen Brunson and those Knicks, they're just better coming from behind. You know what I'm saying? And like people in, and it's a live YouTube, like 12,000 people in the YouTube, and they're like, ayo, ayo, pause, pause. Don't you tell me what to say. Because I won't say it, but I'm going to make this way worse.
See, I think Kamara once told us that there is nothing homophobic about that. It's literally childish behavior.
It's really gotten to the point where it's not just like, it's anyone saying anything that comes across sexual at all.
Anything.
Right, right. That's what it is.
Like, yeah. It's very Gen X energy that they're like, we need to eliminate this pause from the, it's like, are you 50? Are you 50 or 60 years old right now?
Yeah, it's not.
The internet culture, it's evolved past just, I don't want to say something that's like, that's replacing the quote unquote no homo is what it
was.
To
me personally, it's not specific to homo or hetero. It's just like,
yes, exactly. Anything. It's just sexual. Yeah.
it's yeah.
Even my mom pauses me. She goes, whoa, whoa, pause, pause.
Yeah.
7-year-old Audrey Crick. Pause, yo, that's a crazy
people try to ruin everything. Like nothing homophobic about Kenny saying he wanted to dry rub earlier.
Whoa, I didn't say that. Whoa.
Nothing crazy about that. It's normal.
Come on, man.
I got a little bit of, you know, I don't hide nothing, Tristan, much like you. I don't hide nothing from my people. I keep it a stack. I keep it a buck at all times. It was intense at the Caraway household on Sunday night.
It's because you're a Knicks fan. I didn't go lie.
When cats start going off, come on, man. It got intense. Jerome L. Grove was in the building. We watched the games together. It got intense. I'm not going to front to y'all, man. I'm not going to front.
No, we all know what it is. You're a Knicks fan.
Yeah.
See,
okay,
Knicks show. Okay, the only reason why I don't say that is because I feel like it's disrespectful to the real Knicks fans who live and die with the team. I don't live and die with them.
Let me tell you what we did last week. I offered him the opportunity.
Okay, Lake Show.
To erase that forever. I would never play it again if he just admits that he's a Knicks fan. And he wouldn't do it.
So, TK, you've been around hundreds of Knicks fans. I'm not like them, right? Like, I feel like it would be disrespectful to the true Knicks fans to sit up here and say, I'm a Knicks supporter. They're the people on 7th Ave. They're the real Knicks fans.
Semantics. That's what it is. I mean, you are, if the Kings aren't on the table, mm-hmm. then, and the Knicks are on the table, mm-hmm. no matter who the opponent, you're rooting for the Knicks.
I mean, that's true. That's
true. Okay, so that's what it is. I mean, outside of the times where the Kings are relevant, which we don't know when that's going to be again,
okay,
you're
riding for the Knicks. That was just a drive-by.
That's uncalled.
What did you guys think of the Chris Paul to the King? That was for the Blazers. There was another Drew Holiday. Yeah, what did you guys think about that?
We've talked a lot about that today. We all like Drew Holiday. I would love to know what the other options are. I never care what a player makes. Like, I just don't. I do not have to pay that man a single penny. I do not care.
Well, you don't, but when you say that, like, it does affect what you can do.
No, it does. No, it does. It affects what the team can do, but like, that's not my job. You've got to figure that. Trista quit. Great. Kings can't have Drew Holiday and Trista quit. Maybe Vivek heard the Kings joke and zapped Trista's feed and took her out.
Why is it always funny when someone drops out?
Well, I think she was adjusting the dog and accidentally hung up on us.
Yeah, stop stepping on the mouse pad. He stepped on the mouse pad and it was stuck on the little X leave studio part. Relax. relax.
I think we all like the idea of Jrue Holiday, but we, you know, we even, so I'll present this to you. We were looking at timelines, looking at age, looking at different things. If I told you, you know, this is a multi-layered question here, the Kings can go acquire either Jrue Holiday or Colin Sexton, who would you think works better for Sacramento?
Jrue Holiday.
I feel like Tristan's not a Colin Sexton fan. I like Colin Sexton.
Colin Sexton, the bull, the young bull, the bull in a china shop. I'm not a huge fan of Colin Sexton's game. He's not somebody that I feel like is a – I'm like big-time winning player guy, girl. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to me, especially when you don't have players that I know are tone setters, are leaders, are builders, are the guys that keep everyone accountable, can do everything on both sides of the floor, like high character. You have pieces of those guys, each one of those different qualities – on your team if you're a Kings fan, but you don't have that one I look to you, the vocal leader, champion, Olympian. To me, what is Colin Sexton gonna do? He's honestly like a build a king. You know, like if you were gonna just say like this guy's a Sacramento King, I'd be like, yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. Like just flashy, has very much roller coaster moments, some amazing moments, some what the hell are you doing moments. It's so bad that like players I love go to the Kings and they turn into those players.
Marco,
like DeMar DeRozan turned into that for me, where I'm like, what the hell are you doing right now? What is this? Guys are draped around, you got three dudes on you, pause, and you're backing them down, pause, and you're bricking to nowhere.
That was a three for three.
What has become of DeMar DeRozan?
She's like Cat in the fourth quarter the other night. Yeah. Like, she's crazy.
Did you guys see the Carl Anthony?
Cat got some videos of Cat and, oh, man.
They made a rap
it
song
is
about him.
Hilarious. Oh, I didn't see that.
They made a what?
They made a rap song about Cat. I think it was called Cat Is So Zesty.
Oh.
They had.
Well, I don't know about that.
They had somebody go on the streets in New York, and
they asked him.
Yeah,
they
was like, "What's your favorite cat?"
Oh my god!
Oh my god! After all of that, and they all with no hesitation, they all knew. Like they all knew what their favorite cat moment. Cat, I'm a big fan of Cat, man. Cat's hilarious. That boy hilarious.
He's one of the funniest human beings in the league. Honestly. He's so confounding. He's got so many layers to him, you know?
Top NBA zesty target.
Yes. If you Google
after all of that,
chat, Google Cat So Zesty rap song for me and you'll see it. I watched it like four times.
I know my man would have been in trouble if he had finished that game the way that he started. He had 4 points going into the fourth quarter.
Mm. Mm. Zach Lowe was ready to trade him.
Mm. And TK pulled everybody's receipt, by the way. Did you see TK's post where she pulled all of the panic New Yorkers going into the fourth quarter?
No, I didn't
put
see
all
that.
Of their tweets up. Yeah, I mean, obviously the Knicks go on to win the game. Cat goes crazy. Jalen goes crazy. But yeah, TK pulled every receipt.
Man, it was dicey. It was
put him on the carousel.
When Halliburton got the first alley-oop to Obi Toppin, I said, oh no, they about to get ran out the gym. This is crazy.
Ran out of the gym.
When Hallie had the three-play sequence, when he got the steal, the dunk, the three, I said, If it wasn't for
Aaron Nesmith spraining his ankle, they probably still win that game.
Questionable tonight. Game time decision.
Yeah.
That's bad. That's really bad. It's really bad.
Sorry, that's what they do. They locked up. You see OG when Nesmith tried to come back and get to the cup? He said, no, we ain't having all that. Locked up. Get that boy Cat the ball. I told my mom, I told Sharon O'Grove, I said, hey, get that ball to Cat. He got to bring us home. Jalen might not come in because my boy Deuce, Deuce. Deuce was hooping. He was locking up. So I was like, Cap might have to bring us home, baby. And that's what happened.
What do you think about the Landry Shamet minutes?
I said, what is Thibs doing? So what is this guy doing? I thought when he was doing all that with the bench in the first half, I was like, this dude's panicking. This is over. He's panicking. He has no idea. Shamet ended up playing really good. DeLon Wright ended up playing really well too. At least it gave him minutes to like chill out.
He was forced to do this. Mm. If it wasn't for, honestly, that challenge that Indiana had in the second quarter that gave Cat the fourth foul might have actually won the Knicks the game.
Mm.
Because Jalen had four, I believe, and Cat had four. And so he had to sit both of them. And now you have an issue where you got some big minutes from guys who are locking up, playing defense. Jalen can't come into the game. He's sitting his ass on the bench. He's hot. He's ice cold. And now you've got only one player that's a cone on defense. And that guy just happens to be red hot. Hmm. It's the Nesmith injury and it's the second quarter challenge and one offensive foul on Cat that changed the game.
That was an awful call, by the way, too. Scott Foster did not do his job.
I am actively rooting for the Indiana Pacers because of this. Like, I want them to win so bad so I can see him come in here and be sad.
Tonight's
and dejected.
Tonight's tough. Tonight's tough. I don't know. Well, the Knicks better not think they did something in game three because tonight, Indiana, they might do them like they did Cleveland.
Yeah, but I think they did do something in game three.
Do you guys, when there's this, I know you don't do this, Kenny, because you're a Knicks fan, but when you have no vested interest in a team and you're like, yeah, I kind of like them both, do you just allow your heart to just go with your heart and like, who are you? You're just watching. Who are you emotionally just like, yes.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was going to be the Knicks for me, but it's not. It's the Pacers. Very really? Active Pacer. Yes. And I think there's a bunch of different reasons. I really like the Knicks. And I lived in New York, so I kind of feel bad. I have a bunch of Knicks fans, a bunch of people who are like work for the team. But I think the way that the Pacers have built their team shows that it's possible for small markets to go out and build a sustainable contender.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a bunch of guys that were kind of discarded. The Knicks were a little bit as well. But big market, MSG. But, like, you've got guys like Aaron Nesmith who literally they traded Malcolm Brogdon for, and everybody didn't even think about Aaron Nesmith in that trade at all. And he's, like, become one of the best 3-and-D players in the league. You got Pascal Siakam who wanted his money, and you had Masai Ujiri actively talking smack about him in the, like, beginning of season presser. Like, this guy should not get any money. He's, like, a... maybe at the end of his prime, he's not playing very many games. Like, really just doing what Pat Riley did to Jimmy Butler to him. You got, obviously, how many teams passed on Tyrese. He gets traded, wants to be a king. Like, I root for that guy. Andrew Nembhard, smaller guard, Gonzaga. Like, there's just so many. Obi Toppin discarded from the Knicks. A lot of, like, gritty guy. TJ McConnell, same. And I just root for that. Because that could be the Kings. Like, that team could have been built in Sacramento if it was Kevin Pritchard there and Chad Buchanan there. But instead, you had, you know, different ownership group. And Herb's a different owner, obviously, than Vivek. Very hands-off.
No, the GMs are garbage. Monty McNair didn't know what he was doing. Like, we ain't always got to go to the ownership. Like, they've had bad general managers for the better part of 15 years.
Yes. But even if they had good GMs, I think Vivek probably puts his nose in it a little bit, and that happens.
Maybe.
But so to me, it's like the style of offense is really fun. They're just a fun team. They're just, I think, more fun and more unpredictable, and more guys can get their shine, and more guys can get their shine than it just being like the Jalen Brunson show at the end of games. And I love Jalen Brunson. I think Jalen Brunson is my mom's favorite player, and he's like a very casual fan, really easy to root for player. But my heart says Pacers over and over and over again.
Well, you know what it was for me? This was the series I was excited most for. But, and I didn't care. Like, I genuinely had, like, no interest. But two things happened. Kenny's obnoxiousness level went to, like, a 12.
What did I do?
It did.
And what did I do?
It became like,
okay,
all right,
Knicks show.
I would really enjoy for the Knicks to lose. Then Ty hit that shot.
Yeah.
That was a two, and he did the whole thing, the Reggie thing, and they had to go win. You know, they had to go play five more minutes and win the game, and that's when I like really started rooting for them. It was like, okay, I don't want that moment to die. Like, if they lose this game, yes, that moment dies. Like,
definitely
go win this game. Whatever else happens, happens. And then Kenny
it becomes go win the series.
Kenny came in the next day really sad. And I thought that was funny.
I wasn't sad, was I?
Yeah, you were a little dejected. You said you didn't talk for like 8
minutes. No, yeah, I was a little pissed off. Look, I was pissed off at concerts in the park.
Oh, he was. Friday night, game two was going on. He comes over to me. He goes, we're about to go on stage. There's 9,000 people there. He looks at me and goes, they lost. What? Yeah, they lost. It's like, by how many? Oh, like 4.
It's over.
It's over.
He's dejected. He's like, your emotions
absolutely
distraught.
Distraught. You know what's funny?
Shake it off, buddy. We got to go work.
I saw a clip after they won game 3, and they were like in a New York bar, and they were like, yeah, man, this is really cool how the Knicks have brought New York together, and everybody was chanting, and they did the Ja Rule, I'm from New York, New York. It was a really cool moment. And I was like, yeah, it reminds me of like what people in the Bay Area say about the Warriors. They're like, yeah, you like the Giants or the A's or the Raiders or the Niners, but everybody loves the Warriors, and that unites the Bay Area or whatever. And then I said, wait a minute, there's a team in Brooklyn. They have 2 teams, and we talk about uniting New York. Nobody cares about. They should move the Nets. Nobody cares about the Brooklyn Nets. Send them back to Jersey. At least Jersey care.
Send them to Seattle.
They could do that too. Them being in Brooklyn is cool.
Between Brooklyn and New Jersey,
right? At least people in New Jersey would care about the Nets.
No, they wouldn't.
No, you're right. But still. I thought about that for a second. I was like, yeah, that's just like the Bay Area and the war. Wait a minute. There's 2 teams in
they
York.
Already have the New Jersey Giants and the New Jersey Jets over there.
Exactly. Exactly. At least it's easy to get to Barclays, even though it's not a great arena. At least it's easy to get to.
You don't think Barclays is a good arena?
It looks nice.
Not really.
Never
not
been
really,
there,
no.
But it looks nice.
I mean, I haven't seen, I'm sure, all of the intricacies that you have. I've only been there like once or twice. So I thought it was nice.
I think I'm a big concourse person.
And the
concourse is just leaves a lot to be desired. And the tunnel leaves like the underground. I know that this doesn't matter to 99.999% of people. But I think the underground of a building, of an arena, is important too. That's why I couldn't stand Oracle. That was
Oracle was awful.
It was a mess. Awful to get in and out. You're
well, the concourse in Oracle is awful.
Oracle, concourse, all of it bad.
What are your best concourses in the NBA?
Oh, I mean, King's concourse is so great. Mm-hmm. The Golden One Arena? Mm-hmm. Come on. I think it's like one of my favorite places I've ever been for an arena. I think Little Caesars is good. Mm-hmm. Little
is that
Caesars
Detroit?
Arena in Detroit. Mm-hmm. Detroit is good.
And that's in downtown Detroit, right? Like, that's actually in Detroit.
It's in it. Yeah. It's in it. It's right across from where the Lions play. It's right in that little, like, city center. That's really good. What else do I like a lot? I think MSG is really great.
Really?
The only thing that's bad about MSG is that you have to take – well, there's a lot of things that's bad. Like, obviously, sometimes you get bad – there's bad seats in the house because you get, like, the wall above you where I was in game one. You have to take escalators up just to get in there, which stinks. That just stinks because, like, getting out is a mess. I think it's just the iconic nature of MSG that I like. Mm-hmm. Those are the two that
and
I
you
can
walk
get
out onto a massively crowded street where there's also thousands of people coming from under the arena who have absolutely nothing to do with the basketball game whatsoever. And they're all
right.
Converging at the
MSG
same exact
stinks.
Time.
It does. MSG is just a great vibe.
And if you walk out on the wrong street, it just smells all to hell.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, it is just so gross. Like, the back of Madison Square Garden is disgusting.
Awful.
Damn.
Chase is okay. It's not my favorite, but it's okay.
Chase is...
okay. It's just that for a brand new stadium, it's not good.
That's probably more so. Like, if it was a 20-year-old stadium, be like,
that concourse lacks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It lacks amenities. People are everywhere. It's kind of crowded. Yeah, I think goal one might be one for me.
Is OKC that good, or is Minnesota sketchy?
I think a little column A, a little column B. Mm-hmm. I think it's a bad matchup. Mm. Ant is really hampered. And I think you've got a lot of role players that you don't know if you can rely on a night-to-night basis. If we got what we got last night from the Timberwolves every night, and then we had a good Ant performance, we would have a series. If you got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the flamethrower with 20-something points. You got Dante DiVincenzo hitting open. I mean, these guys are hitting open threes. That's all we need you to do is just hit open threes when they don't rotate or when it's just like driving kicks. Like Nasri, just get crucial rebounds like he did last night. That's just not what they were doing in game one or two. So I think that's really what it is. It's like OKC forces you to turn the ball over a lot, puts a lot of pressure on the bench. What do they get? 15-plus turnovers for game one and game two each, forced turnovers. And then obviously the disparity in the foul calls didn't help Minnesota at all. Last night I thought it was pretty fair. I think Shea was hunting fouls. I don't know if you guys saw that last night. He was looking at the ref, trying to get a foul at the sort of like third and fourth quarter, and they were not dealing with his BS. But game one, game two, you could barely graze him, and he was going to the free throw line.
Shea was Dellavedova levels tired yesterday. He was exhausted at the end of that game. He was hooping, though. He was doing his thing.
Hooping. J-Dub. Hooping.
He did. He had some big time shots. Chet, my boy Chet, was hitting some big time shots too. I think I was very critical of Ant, Randall, and Coach Finch earlier because I thought Ant was bad, like just bad. I thought Julius was awful, and I thought Finch was awful as well with their performance yesterday. And you're not going to win if Julius Randall's even just shooting the ball seven times. Like, and that goes on Randall and the coach. Like, you've got to find a way to get him some shots.
I don't know what to make of Randall, honestly. He's had some awesome games, awesome series. Obviously, the Lakers one was incredible. And then you go to this series, and he's had one really good game, one pretty good game, and two awful games. And he's in a contract year. Minnesota's got to shed salary. All those guys, I think it's Nasri, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, and Julius Randle are all in contract years. And I don't know who you keep. Honestly, I don't know who's the most important, consistent player of those three. Who would you guys keep?
Well, I would keep – give me the three players. I know you said Nasri.
Julius, Nasri, and
– and Nikhil Alexander-Walker.
I'd keep Nas. Or excuse me. I'd keep Julius.
I think I'd keep Nasri. And I'm a bigger, like, I like Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. I like Nasri, too, though. Mm-hmm.
It's tough because they all do such different things. You need a backup big when Rudy's atrocious. But, man, Nas has been awful this series.
Yeah.
Especially game one and game two. He was on a poster.
But I feel like a lot of them have been awful this series. Like, that's the problem. Like, these guys are having their worst. And maybe that's where Oklahoma City comes into play. Like, maybe this is where the Thunder deserve credit for being the best defensive team in the league all year. It's just they're taking out everybody. Like, it's one thing, man, they really zeroed in on Ant. Oh, man, that's impressive. Like, that's tough. Mm-hmm. Man, they zeroed in on Ant and Julius. Wow. They were able to take both of them out. Now Naz Reid stinks. Now they're getting 20 from Dante DiVincenzo to survive.
Yeah, that's bad. That's really bad.
That sounded like now a shot at Dante. It wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't meant to be a shot at Dante DiVincenzo, but
so funny. My mom hasn't been really like locked in on the NBA for a couple of years now. This is her first year back really into it, watching it every single game. And she goes, Dante DiVincenzo, wasn't he a king? I go, he was a king, Mom. Is that the last time you watched the NBA? Lots gone on since then. Lots changed since
then. And that is a very specific time period that she watched. That's not even like, oh, yeah, stretch your back. That is one very specific time period that she saw to know that.
Yeah. I know. It wasn't even like that long of a stint.
No, not at all.
No.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
64. If I'm adding that right, and God knows if I am, 64 points from the bench yesterday.
At least they got some bench
points. Just to stay in the game.
Game one and game two, those boys couldn't get anything.
Mm-hmm.
Anything. I think they had like 4 bench points in game one or something crazy like that. And Ant was horrible. I don't know. I think Minnesota's pretty good.
Really?
I think they're pretty good. I think they're having a bad series. And I think also OKC's one of the best defensive teams I've ever seen.
I'm alone. I'll just die on the island alone. It's fine.
Which is what?
I don't like Minnesota.
I know you don't. I know you
I never have.
What do you not like about them? Just don't like the role players?
No, I don't feel like they're consistent.
I actually,
with the exception of the 27, I like most of the guys on their roster. I just don't feel like they're consistent. And Ant's part, I think Ant, you just can't have games like Ant has had in this conference finals. To be what he is in the league, you can't have that.
He had those games against Dallas in the conference finals too.
Mm-hmm.
He had those same ones where it was like, damn, he maybe really isn't Superman. Maybe he's not that guy. And he is that guy. I think
Absolutely.
He's just exhausted. And I think they need another point guard. They need another guard on the team. Like Mike Conley's getting old. He's hitting shots, but he's not him. When you're getting Terrence Shannon minutes and like positive Terrence Shannon minutes, there's no shade to him. You really need another guard. They need Jrue Holiday. They can use Jrue Holiday.
I wish Monty would have took Terrence Shannon. Said that at the time.
Yeah, you did. But he didn't.
He would probably be.
And now he's fired.
Let's be honest, though. Like, I don't know what he would have been in Sacramento either. I don't know how much he would have played.
You can say that with any player that Kings fans complain
about. Yeah, you're right.
They didn't land here.
By the way.
Remember when we thought you guys could get OG and Anobi? I was trying to, like, stump for the OG trade. That's all I wanted was either Pascal Siakam or OG. It turns out those guys are really freaking good. Both of them.
By the way, Shams reports Aaron Nesmith is available tonight.
Ooh, all right. Who did that last series? Sprained ankle, looked really bad, played the next
game. Donovan did too, right?
Donovan
Mitchell, yeah. Okay.
Garland was his top.
Yep.
That's right. Hey, I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah!
In the desert. Let's go.
What's the itinerary again for y'all? You guys are doing SZA on what day? And then what's the other day? Janet Jackson?
Janet's Friday. Kendrick and SZA are Saturday. And then we got Hamilton on Sunday.
Hamilton on Sunday.
Yeah.
They got open tickets for that or no?
Hamilton? No, I think so.
Maybe I'll roll with y'all to Hamilton. I've never seen Hamilton.
Okay. I'll look right now. I'll look at our seats. I'll send them to you, and we'll SeatGeek this joint and find out if we can get you in there.
Let's do it. All right, Chatty House. Love y'all.
All right.